What's going on? It's your boy Mikey, man. Can we keep it real podcast, man? We got Uncle Felix, the political goat, in on it with us. What's going on, Uncle?
Nothing much, Mikey. What's good with you?
Not too much. You know, I asked you to come in on this conversation, you know, because you are probably more educated on what we're going to talk about today, critical race theory, you know. So I thought it'd be a good idea to have you in on it with us. How's everything going?
Not bad, not bad. Critical race theory, man. What it is, the hot topic of topics these days, and rightfully so. I mean, obviously, all the implications it has to do, especially if you know it's being taught to our young children, which I'm assuming that's what our guest is going to talk on or speak on, and you know, it's something that everybody has to stand up and take notice of. Because if we let it run amok, you know, we run a real chance of, you know, having a whole generation indoctrinated in this whole Marxism bullcrap.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I started hearing about it back around football when there was the mandatory question if the kids wanted to play football, and then I seen Rise Up Rhode Island start talking about it. And then it became a big issue in SK where a local committee publicly threatened to file a lawsuit against a parent. And then in Charahoe a few weeks ago, I got arrested at one of the committees and for not wearing a mask. And I started hearing a lot of things going on about it. And then I noticed a Westerly guy was really digging deep into this, and we're going to bring him in here. I believe he's going to come in right now. Westerly resident, Hall of Fame fourth player. He played varsity at Brown University, I believe. How you doing, Bob?
Hey, Mike. Hi, Felix.
How's it going, Bob?
Great. How are you all?
All right.
Not bad. I wanted to bring Felix on this. You know, like I said earlier, he's just a little more educated than I am on it. And then our friend, you know, a good friend of mine, Emerson Kilgore, wanted to come in, you know, after you got what you had to say. Oh, man. How are you doing today? How did this all start?
Well, I'm doing fine. Worked all day like everybody else and got home and had dinner. And I'm glad to be on with you guys tonight. How it all started for me was, after George Floyd was killed, I saw Superintendent Garceau's email, to parents in support of BLM. And I decided to check him out and Alicia's story, on Facebook. Now that email, I think I sent you. I think you should have it. It really, it's very alarming. It was to me anyway, that it voiced its support for BLM and everything that it's about, really, which we know is a self-avowed Marxist organization, America haters. They're hell bent on tearing the country apart and getting rid of capitalism and private property and all that stuff. So that said, I researched both Garceau, Superintendent Garceau, and Assistant Superintendent Story on their personal Facebook pages. This was back in, June of last year. And, you know, come to find out that both of them had very pro-BLM stances on their Facebook pages. And let me say, this is a free country, at least today, and they can have whatever they want. Excuse me, on their personal Facebook pages, but I just didn't think that, you know, in the positions that they held, especially Assistant Superintendent Story in charge of curriculum, that was the smartest thing to do. Mm-hmm. So I confided in someone, and this person, I told her, you know, what I found, and it bothered me. And then I go back to Story's page a couple of days later. And it was scrubbed. It was no coincidence. It was an unethical thing for this person to do. She acted as judge and jury, tipping off her friend. And that's what really got me going. And to make a short story long, that's how I really got going.
That's interesting that they scrubbed it, just because if you look at BLM, for that matter, and also even now with critical race theory, BLM, when they first came out, if you went on their website, they were very open and honest. You know, a couple of the founders of BLM were admitted trained, quote-unquote, trained Marxists. You know, they were against the what they call the cis family, and as you said, against capitalism and this and that. And as time went on and as people became more, I guess, aware of what they're up, what they were up to, they have retouched their website dramatically. And we're seeing the same thing with critical race theory now, because now what they're trying to say, that they'll come out and say, oh, it's not critical race theory, it's called something else, but it's all the same nonsense that they're trying to push.
You're right on. Yep, Bob, agreed.
What exactly is critical race theory?
Well, basically, CRT is a mode of thought which is based on all institutions, the law, etc., being systemically racist against people of color. That's the nuts and bolts of the thing. It's been around for decades, mostly in education at the collegiate level. When I was a student at Brown, and I didn't know any better back then, but there was that type of stuff going on there. Brown's a very liberal university, as you guys know, and even more so today. But it was around back in the 80s and the Stone Ages when I was in college. And now it's wormed its way into our nation's middle schools and high schools and even our elementary schools. So basically what it does, it removes hard work, dedication, accountability, etc., as reasons for a person's success or failure, and really condenses it down to one reason only: race. It tells a person of color that they can't achieve excellence unless an outcome is engineered for them artificially. It's a zero-sum game, Mike and Felix, as you guys know. If a white person succeeds, it's at the expense of a person of color. If a person of color fails, it's because of a racist white person. It's insulting to all people. I don't care what color you are. This is the point I try to get across to people. And I said it at the school committee meeting the other night, and on another Facebook page, she was tearing me up because I said it was insulting to people of color. I said it's insulting to all people.
Mm-hmm.
Because it takes away individual responsibility and accountability, which we all have.
Yeah, exactly right. It pushes victimhood. And, you know, me being a person of color, you know, I've always preached to my kids that they are the ultimate captain of their destiny. You know, they're the master of their ship. You know, you are the sum of your decisions. You're basically spitting in everything that I'm teaching them when you push this stuff on them. You know, this whole victimhood mentality, like you said, you can't do anything unless, you know, the man gives it to you or all that nonsense. And they also, they're very good at playing words. You know, they push this whole equity, you know, instead of equality. You know, we all know equality as, you know, everybody's equal in the eyes of the law, where they push equity, and that is more of a result-based, you know what I mean? They want everybody to finish the race at the same time. And all that does, you know, is push misery, you know what I mean? Yeah, everybody can be equal. You're going to be equal in misery, though, with this nonsense that they're pushing.
And you see what Wes Pennington said, you know, as long as everyone has the same opportunities. And
yes, and that what Wes is saying there, that's equality. You know what I mean? That's what should be pushed. You know, Martin Luther King pushed, you know, your content of your character versus the color of your skin, and you know, this equity is pushing results, and you know, two people can come out of the same household, doesn't mean they're gonna finish, you know, exactly at the same place. You know what I mean? It's you know, everybody's different. And this takes away, again, from individualism, and it pushes that whole collectivism mentality.
Felix, you took the words right out of my mouth there. I was talking to a friend today, and she said, can you guys hear me?
Yes, yes.
She said to me, I have four children, okay? They're all grown. They all had the same upbringing, all God-fearing people, all went to the same high school, different colleges, but all have achieved at different levels. Mm-hmm. So if you give a kid a great, foster a kid with a great environment, two, four, or five kids, however many you have, and they turn out differently, how do we expect schools to engineer an outcome where everybody achieves in an equitable manner? It's just not possible. Yeah, kids are different, and it's not because of race.
Exactly. And it's a whole false narrative. It just pushes a utopia that can never be obtained. You know, for the reasons you said, everybody's different. Everybody views things a little differently. And we, and you know, common sense people know and understand that. You know what I mean? Like, everything is not going to be the same. You know, everybody in prison's the same, you know, at the end of the day. And you know, it's not, you know, just because it's the same doesn't mean it's a good thing.
Right on. Absolutely right.
I don't think, you know, I definitely have to ask you this question because you're making some big accusations. You know, what evidence do you exactly have that Wesley Public School is teaching CRT?
Well, I've been saying this now for a long time, Mike. And I'm glad you asked me, because I want to keep saying it, because we got to keep talking about it. We have a sophomore ELA class, English Language Arts class, called Sophomores for Social Action, which the class is centered on power and privilege of whites and rich. All the buzzwords, diversity, equity, inclusion, all in there. And it teaches these kids how to be good little social justice warriors. The syllabus is a roadmap for critical race theory in schools. And this, after Superintendent Garceau and the school committee repeatedly have said to me over the last 9 months that there is no critical race theory being taught in schools. They've lied for months to me and to the town of Westerly. And I have to say also, you know, there is no critical race theory 101. They don't have a book called your critical race theory textbook, but certainly the tenets and pillars of critical race theory have wormed their way into the curriculum here at Westerly. That's one example. We also have a teacher and who teaches this class. Her name's Ann Barnhart, and I only name her because her name's on the syllabus of the class. And she had devised a Westerly Public Schools anti-racism policies and practices Google survey back in June, I think it was, right after George Floyd was killed. And she lied, because this was not a district policy. This was her own radical thoughts here that she put down, purporting them, those thoughts, to be those of the district. She used taxpayer-funded means to get her baseless garbage out to people. And they got 400 responses back on it also. And I'll talk more about this when we talk about my APRA requests that I have in. But this was one of the things that's included on them. And one of the responses that I got from the district is less than forthcoming on this topic. We'll put it that way. Because the district says one thing on one page and then says another thing on another. So Judicial Watch, I saw that letter flash up there. They're representing me relative to my APRA requests with the district here. Judicial Watch is the largest public records litigator in the country. I'm glad to have them with me. They feel that what we're doing here is a great thing. And they saw fit to get involved to help me get the information that I seek. So hopefully we can talk more about that later. But another example of critical race theory in the schools is this implicit bias training that teachers and staff have been forced to go through. It's somewhere between 8 and 10 professional development sessions this past school year, and basically shames them for their white privilege, the white teachers. They want to teach them and show them how it feels to be a person of color, and it transfers those feelings into how they teach the kids. So it basically tells them that they've only achieved what they've achieved because they're white. It shames them, belittles them, threatens them. And this is bad enough here in Westerly. But if you've been following Ramona Bessinger or Nicole Solis or any of those girls, or Polly Hopkins and Charaho, Westerly is not even as far advanced as, say, Providence or South Kingstown or Charaho here, but we are well on the way. And my goal here is I'm trying to head it off at the pass before it gets too ingrained here for us to do anything about it. Now, we have an education commissioner, Angelica Infante Green, who's pushing down her radical agenda, which has already been rubber stamped by the curriculum committee here at Westerly High School in Westerly. And basically, they're all the five curricula they had to choose from are the same. They're all laden with critical race theory tenets and pillars. And the one they decided to go with, which the company called Odell Education, is owned and operated by Bill and Melinda Gates. So, you know, just follow the trail of money here, and you'll see what's going on. Our district leaders, our school committee leader, our school committee chair, our superintendent, our assistant superintendent, the Westerly Teacher Association leadership is trading the souls and minds of our kids for money and for power. And that is why I am fighting the way I am. So finally, the last example of CRT in schools, we have at least two rogue teachers, one at the middle school, one at the high school, that have shamed, singled out, silenced, and disciplined students that disagreed with them politically. Garceau has said this does not happen, but we know that there have been parent meetings with these teachers and principals and others to discuss these things that have happened. So all of these things combined, you know, one thing happens, it's like, maybe it's a one-off, you know, but then you start seeing two, three, four, five things happen and you got a problem.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you now, gone are the days of basically just sending your kid to school and, you know, assuming he's being taught, you know, science, English, and math.
Right.
Now we got to worry about this nonsense. It was basically an unforeseen blessing, this whole COVID-19 thing, is because parents, you know, were able to, you know, watch their kids, you know, learning online and picked up on some of this stuff, which is what really started the ball rolling. People saying, what's this all about?
Absolutely, Felix. And that's exactly what happened in one of these instances that I'm talking about here, that a parent did see what was going on and said something. So, yes, you're right. I mean, as bad as it has been and as bad as it was, it did give some parents a peek under the sheet, so to speak, of what's going on. And I do have to say, I don't have any reason to believe that this is endemic to Westerly Public Schools. You know, in terms of the teachers, mm-hmm. our teachers, by and large, and I've said this, and some people shook their head at me at the last meeting, but I've said this a million times. If I've said it once. Vast majority of our teachers are good and excellent teachers. They teach our kids well, and they care about them. I'm after the bad teachers. I support the good teachers. I don't support the bad teachers. Ms. Barnhart and these two rogue teachers, I called for their firing at the school committee meeting the other night, and I'll do so again tonight.
Good. Good. Is this, you know, and thank God for people like you who are making the stand like this, you know, because it needs to be brought to light. It really does.
You have no children in the Westerly School Department. Why are you taking on such a fight that some would ask? Has anybody asked you that?
Yeah, I've been asked a lot by a lot of people. And the superintendent himself has not asked me directly, but asked others that told him that he doesn't understand why I'm so passionate about this. Well, I'm passionate about it because, no, I don't have kids in the school district right now. They're gone. But They're grown, I should say. But I do have a stake in this community, and I do care about the youth of this community. And a town or a city is only as good as its schools. I fight every day for our kids and our good teachers. They're getting screwed. And I am not going to let that happen. I am going to continue to fight for those kids and for our good teachers. And I need parents and other taxpayers to join me in that fight. I have told the truth this whole time. I have no stake in the game except for I care about our kids and good teachers. And anybody that says that that's politically motivated doesn't know what they're talking about. And people have said that.
What's your level of support like inside the community?
Well, I think it's pretty high, actually. But what you don't see is the level of fear in people. I mean, I see it because people tell me all the time. They come up to me and they say, "Oh, Bobby, we support you. Thanks for doing this." But people are afraid. They're afraid of being called racist. They're afraid of being called names and threatened. I can't tell you how many people have come up to me and thanked me. Parents might be afraid of not being in the cool parents group anymore, or maybe afraid of reprisals against their kids. It's sad, really, you know, that the hard left can say whatever it wants, call people names, threaten myself and my wife at last week's meeting. Some of the notes that I get are pretty bad. These people will do and say anything to get to what they want to get. And that's a win. And I am not intimidated by these people at all.
Good. And it just shows you fascism has come to America.
And they call us the fascists, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? But the left is pretty good at that. They're pretty good at accusing you of exactly what they're doing.
Right. Absolutely right.
I don't know. Have you read or have you the Mark Levin book, American Marxism?
I just got it gifted to me by somebody. Have you read it?
I'm only a few chapters in, and I mean, Mark Levin is my favorite, and it's an excellent book. Everything you're talking about now, and you know that we're touching on, is in this book. It's only 7 chapters long. I think it's about 300 pages, but the first 6 chapters, he goes into describing what critical race theory is. And what he calls American Marxism, and then the last chapter is all about solutions, which is what you're doing. You know what I mean? And how you've requested paperwork through the Judicial Watch and things like that. So when Mikey told me about you and the story, I was like, he must have read the book.
I started to read it the other day, and for some reason I got bogged down with something else, but mm-hmm. I'm going on a trip soon for work, and I'll be sure to bring it with me and get it read. I mean, nobody knows the Constitution like that guy, like
exactly.
Mark Levin.
Exactly.
He's an expert on it.
And as you know, this whole critical race theory thing, that's the end game, in my opinion, is for them to, cause a great reset and to say bye-bye to the Constitution.
Absolutely.
That is the one thing that is holding them back from achieving what they want to achieve. Like I know in college, I studied a lot of history of China and how Mao came to power. And he basically, this is what he used, except he didn't use race, he used class.
Right.
And he was able to achieve, that one party rule. And, at the end of the day, this is what the left is looking for. It's for that one party rule.
Yeah, for sure. And, and the commonalities here are, okay, they take over the major media. They take over healthcare,
yep.
Religion, schools, all of that stuff. And they pit brother against brother, sister against sister. But as you say, they're doing it based on race here. In terms of the CRT proponents, and either way, it's designed to tear apart the country, the moral fiber, the fabric of heart
itself out of the country. It's all connected. I try to explain to people like this, with the statues being torn down, You know, blaming everything on race, you know, blurring the line with genders and all that, you know, trying to institute more collectivism, more group thought, more groupthink, things like that. This is all, if you're paying attention, it's all connected. And you know, I hate to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but I mean, it's all laid out in Karl Marx's writings. You know what I mean? He lays it right out for you. And if you read that and you see what's going on today in society, you're seeing that the left is implementing exactly that.
Absolutely right.
Now, Bob, regarding your letter in a newspaper I don't mention, why do you feel that meeting was a setup?
What was the setup, Mike?
The meeting.
Oh, the school committee meeting.
Yeah, the school committee meeting. I think I remember reading that you mentioned it was a setup in a letter to the in the newspaper.
Yeah. Well, you know, I certainly do, because I can tell you, we my wife and I walked into the meeting at about 5:30, and for the meeting started at 6 o'clock. So we were there a little bit early, so we thought, but we found a packed house, okay? And in that group of people, it was filled with teachers, principals, students, former students, ARC, and others who opposed the resolution, which, you know, is fine. I mean, it's a big issue, and I expected there to be opposition, you know, and that's America. That's how it works, you know? But then I go to there's a sign-in sheet in the back. When you first walk in, and I had never seen a sign-in sheet before at a school committee meeting, and I had presented numerous times. But I noticed that, you know, the sign-in sheet is like 18 deep, and my supporters and myself didn't get to speak for about, I'd say it was around 2 hours in. So everybody's speaking for 10 minutes. You know, you do the math. I mean, we were there for a long time before we could speak. So that's one thing. I didn't understand how they knew there was a sign-up sheet, and I didn't know there was a sign-up sheet. That was one thing. The other thing was, you know, I came into possession of an email, which I sent you. There it is right there on the screen, which Superintendent Garceau, through the school committee chair, sent to principals, to the WTA, to teachers, asking to the WTA head, Colleen Saylor, to teachers asking for support against this mess. So when I had in the last meeting in June presented my resolution, and I asked to get it on the agenda for the July meeting, all the school committee members present said that they voiced their opposition to critical race theory being taught in our school. So I'm like, all right, this thing has half a shot to pass if I can get it on the agenda. So it gets put on the agenda for the July 14th meeting. And, you know, you have these speakers up there. I got to speak 18th or whatever it was. And there was no discussion by the school committee at all. All they did was bash the resolution. I don't even think they read it. And voted it down 6-0, which, you know, I could tell the way it was going to go as the night progressed. But I guess the point of the matter is the school committee contradicted itself from 2 weeks earlier, saying that they opposed critical race theory. And then by voting down my resolution, contradicting themselves, showing that they actually supported the tenets and pillars of critical race theory being taught in schools, in our schools. Now, in that resolution, as these people tried to paint it, they said, well, you know, divisive concepts. We can't teach the Civil War. We can't teach Reconstruction. We can't teach about Jim Crow. No, that's not what it said at all. What it did say was the divisive concepts were stuff like the United States, the state of Rhode Island, and the town of Westerly are not systemically racist. Those are the type of things that were in that resolution. And you might have a copy of it. I don't remember if I sent that to you or not, but, you know, it talks about you cannot teach that an individual should be discriminated against or receive adverse treatment based solely on or partly on his race or sex. You know, I mean,
And that's the big thing here too. Because when I speak to people about critical race theory, the first thing they'll say is, "Oh, you don't want real history to be taught." Nobody is against the real history, quote unquote, to be taught. I mean, we all know the Civil War. We all know there was slavery in America. We're all familiar with Jim Crow laws. I know I learned all that stuff in school. You know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And no one is opposed to that. What we're opposed to is when you sit there and say, you know, you're at a disadvantage or everybody's at a disadvantage because the system was based for only one, you know, to uplift one race. That is your opinion, and it's not based on fact. You know, anybody who has studied the Constitution or read the Federalist Papers would know that. And the thing I always come back with is, you know, you got people in history like Frederick Douglass, for example, who actually used the Constitution to basically get the Civil War kickstarted.
He loved the Constitution.
And he used that to back up his feelings about slavery. You know, and a lot of people don't understand is when the Constitution was written during the founding of our nation, you know, slavery, it wasn't an issue where everybody was for it. There was plenty of the founding fathers who were against it. But at that time, they were getting ready to do battle with the biggest superpower on the planet. So they needed all the colonies to unite and stand and fight. And so the Constitution was written in a way that slavery would be addressed later on. And that's exactly what happened.
That's right.
And a lot of people don't understand that. They just think that, you know, they try to dismiss the Constitution as it was just written by a bunch of racist slave owners.
And that's right. And you know, speaking of history, you know, the issue that I have with proponents of critical race theory is this: in order for history to be understood correctly, it must be contextualized. And by that, I mean, it needs to be looked at through the lens of when it happened. You cannot juxtapose an event that happened 150 to 200 years ago in those in that culture, in those mores, and plop it into today. It's apples and oranges to compare those two. Mm-hmm. So you have to view history in context. You know, do we would abhor things like slavery today? Who would think of owning another person? I mean, that just wouldn't be done today. You know, so it has to be learned and understood through the lens of the time in which it occurred, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Just jump in. Joining us now is Emerson Kilgore. A lot of people around Rhode Island know Emerson. I thought because of when I started hearing about CRT. How you doing, Emerson?
I'm all right. How are you guys?
All right. I thought, you know, Emerson, meet Bob Tirado. He's the Westerly local guy that's fighting to keep CRT out of the local school systems. The reason why I thought maybe bring Emerson in, you know, him being a sports guy and him knowing over the springtime, our kids had to take an experimental COVID test in order for them to be eligible for football. And that's all part of the same, you know, the Rise Up Rhode Island organization. So Bob, Mr. Emerson Kilgore, Emerson, Bob Tirado.
Hey, Emerson.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you also.
So I will say, so I've been on here for about 5 minutes here. So I agree with some of the stuff that's been said here. I think you guys got to dig a little bit deeper when it comes to actual history. One of the things I know as a fact now, obviously being an African-American male and doing what I have done here, I know the idea of, you know, looking back and, you know, not judging history on today's terms is a factor. So I understand that to some extent. But I think one of the big parts that's missing of that is the residuals of the history that you guys are referring to still play out today. I think when you talk about, certain events that happened in the past and, you know, how certain events, morph and continue to this day in different arenas in different ways, that's kind of being missed in this conversation here. You know, obviously, I just heard about slavery. Obviously, you know, in this day and age, you know, this country would never have slavery. Obviously, it's against our Constitution and everything else. But, you know, the residuals of that time still play out today. And I think with, you know, with critical race theory, that's what that's trying to address in some way, shape, or form. Now, where they're doing it is, you know, and how they're doing it is can be argued, but, you know, things that have been dealt with in the past have not been dealt with now. And, you know, you're free to disagree, but, you know, again, you know, I can very easily talk to any African-American and very easily dispute what you guys are saying right now. This is not, you know, this needs to be looked at a completely different way. You know, we have to start looking at the levels of issues before we start talking about, okay, well, history here and history there. There's still stuff going on to this day.
Could you put, like, I'm trying to understand where you're coming from. So what examples of what happened in the past is residuals to today?
So I'll give you a perfect example. Like, if we're going to look at the justice system, how in one case where a white guy would be, give me one second here. Hold on one second. So let me go back. So if a white person has done one crime and a black person's done the exact same crime, the white person gets less time.
But that's not always true.
Hold on. That's not always true, but it does happen. And that's the thing. You can't skirt over the fact that it does happen because it's of race. It doesn't happen all the time. It does happen, and it happens too much. You have to address that because that's the unfair part of the system.
I would disagree with that, and I do believe there's issues with our judicial system, but I believe the color that matters in the judicial system is green. You know what I mean? If you take a rich black person and, you know, he's fighting the same charges as a poor white person, I can pretty much guarantee you the rich black person is going to come out with a better outcome.
You're speaking on two different things. I'm referring to race. You're referring
well,
to money.
Well, that's what I'm talking. You know, we're talking about the judicial system, right, and the effects you're saying that it has on today. What I'm telling you is the effects that
you just said that if it's a rich black person, the rich money, you got to take money out of the equation. I'm talking about the average Joe, the average white person, the average black person, average brown person for that. Money has to be taken out of the equation.
And I guarantee you, statistics would show. Here's the thing. Everybody's an individual, so it's very rare. You're not going to find two people with exactly the same story. It's just not going to happen. But if the color that matters in our judicial system is green. Now that does need to be addressed, and I would agree with that. But I'm not going to sit here and say, yeah, I agree with, you know, just because someone is black, they're getting more time, or someone is white, they're getting more time. I believe that has more to do with, you know, the whole story and the socioeconomics, basically.
And I'd respectfully have to question, you know, I'd have to ask Emerson, you know, what are your sources here? Where is this anecdotal?
The one thing I'm not going to get into is sources, because honestly, I've done this before. I'll say a source and you're like, oh, I'm not going to believe that.
Well,
so,
listen, I'm not here to argue with you.
I'm not arguing either. You're the one you're raising your voice right now. I'm trying to have a conversation with you and you're raising your voice. Okay. So I don't get into that. Okay. You don't have to believe me. That's fine. Because honestly, this is America and we all see things from different perspectives. Okay. Right. I see it from perspective of African-American male. Yep. I can assume, Bob, that you're probably white. Okay. So white. You're going to see it from, and hold on, let me finish. I'm going to let you give me a chance to finish. And I'm not going to disrespect the fact that you see it differently from me because we grew up differently. We've had different experiences. I can respect that. I don't hate that. I'm not mad at that. Okay. But you do have to respect the fact that we've had different experiences and we've dealt with things differently. So our perspectives on this topic are going to be different. Okay. And I respect your side. You don't have to respect mine. That's fine. It doesn't matter to me. I've seen it through the lens that I've seen it. I've seen it happen way too many times that situation happened. So you don't have to believe it. That's fine. I mean, I can look stuff up and send it to you and email it to you. That's fine. But, you know, and I'll gladly do that for you. But it does happen way too often, okay, and it continues to happen in this country. All so right.
And I never said I didn't respect your point of view. Okay?
I never said you said okay. that, but I'm just saying that.
And I do respect your point of view, but I do have to respectfully say that, you know, and I've done this a lot too. And a lot of people that are pro CRT people, and I'm not saying that you are or you're not, but a lot of people that are proponents of critical race theory will level charges or will say things with no backup. And I have to call people out on that, you know, and I do, and I will continue to do that because, you know what, if I'm going to give you a statistic, I'm going to back it up with fact. Okay. And, you know, we maybe have had different experiences. You don't know me. I don't know you. But, you know, based on your race and mine, chances are our experiences have been different. But, you know, you can't come on and say, you know, what you said about, you know, the residuals and all that stuff without giving a source, without giving some backup information. Because if you don't...
My source is my life, my friend. My source is what I've seen, what I've grown up with, what I've dealt with. So how is that source not relevant to this conversation? When you're sitting here telling me, okay, I have to do this, I have to do that. My source is my life.
Well, you're
my source
person.
Is the guys that... Hold on. You just asked a question. I need to finish it. I need to answer it.
You are okay? one person.
My source
you are not
is my life. My source is the guys I've dealt with, the guys who have been arrested for the wrong reason or have gotten pulled over because they're driving a nice car. Like that all has everything to do with race. Does it have anything to do with money? Does it have anything to any with that? It has to do with race. And again, you don't have to believe that, and that's fine. But the fact of the matter is that's the case. And there's no other reason. There is not another reason. How many times do I have to get pulled over because I'm an African-American male?
I don't know.
All right, then. Time. And what does that have to do with?
But
you're
saying
you need a source. My source is my life. Okay. My source is what I deal with since I've been on this earth for 43 years. How are you going to sit here and tell me that this? I have to come here when I'm telling you this stuff? I've seen it with my own eyes. I've dealt with it with my own life.
Emerson, Bob, Felix, if I can call a timeout, I think we're getting off subject because I called this together to talk about CRT in schools, and it got way off on...
Well, honestly, this is actually a part of that, Mike, to be honest with you, because ultimately, like, what CRT is doing is breaking down the reason why so many things happen to different races, and it should be that.
Not at all.
That's your opinion. That's your opinion, and that's fine.
That's the thing with critical race theory.
You don't know what it is, Emerson. You don't understand it.
It's an opinion.
Okay, so you're not going to sit here and insult my intelligence that I don't know what it is. I know exactly what it is. Again, your opinion of it is what's different. It's your opinion of what it is different than mine. So please don't sit here and insult my intelligence about what I know and what I don't know. Okay,
because
honestly, I can pretty much guarantee I have more education than all of you, and I know exactly what it is.
You do.
So let's not go there, please.
Okay. All right, you're educated. Okay, I get it.
You know, I just wanted to have a conversation about
CRT. You know what? Hey, Mike, do me a favor, man. Honestly, I think I'm going to go because, honestly, I don't deal with this type of ignorance, and I know exactly where these guys are coming from, and I'm really done. So I don't really have the time for this, Mike. So, again, I appreciate what you do, but I think it's time for me to go because, honestly, I don't deal with conflict.
You're way too emotional for this.
But I'm way too emotional. Okay.
I definitely did not want that to happen.
And well, you know what? But that's what happens when you let emotion dictate your thoughts. Unfortunately,
you can't. And listen, I never said I didn't respect Emerson's experiences. Okay, but he cannot speak for the entire justice system based on only his experience. He's got to cite some data. You know, if I want to cite some FBI crime statistics, I can do it. He didn't do that.
Let's get back to the schools and I was more interested in CRT in schools and
me too.
And I didn't maybe just the timing of the conversation that Emerson got in came in the room, but I'll talk, you know, I apologize to everybody. I was like, I did not want that to turn into
No worries.
Nobody wanted it to go there.
Yeah, no worries.
I love Emerson, you know, I'm a fan of Emerson. You know, very, very nice guy doing a lot for the kids. But yeah, my topic was pretty much CRT in schools, and the whole race is a whole another story that can definitely be debated at another time. But I did not want that to happen.
And yep, that's fine.
To all the listeners, to Emerson himself, you know, to You know, Mike's listening. Mike wants to, you know, get back into CRT in school. He definitely, he said he came for a fight. Back to the topic. Yeah, no, back to the topic. So, Bob, APRA, you put a request in. What exactly is it, and where do they stand today?
An APRA is a public records request. And I sent my first one back I think the 27th of May to the district. And I asked a variety of questions. I think I had 11 items on that first request. It had to do with some curriculum issues. I wanted some communications from certain people in the district. Those three teachers that I mentioned, plus the superintendent, the assistant superintendent, and then some key words like BLM and diversity, equity, inclusion, and so on and so forth. Well, it came and for a year from May to May, May last year to May of this year, came back with 223,000 hits. And for that, they wanted to charge me $9,300. To get that information. And the statute says that they can charge up to $15 an hour. In this case, it was the superintendent said it was going to take 620 hours, which is a ridiculous number. Wow. To get all this information, hence the $9,300 bill, in essence. So on advice of a friend who's an attorney, he said, well, tell them that you want the documents in all the responsive documents electronically, meaning nobody's got to stand at the copy machine and make copies. So I did that. And lo and behold, they said, that's great, but that'll still be $9,300 before you get one iota of information. So that's when I received a phone call from, after I had relayed my story to some people, Judicial Watch was on the line. I got connected to them, and they have since begun representing me in terms of my APRA requests, and they have revamped them or amended them, and now stuff, surprisingly, is starting to come in. So we've got some curriculum stuff in, and we're getting hopefully some other stuff, but I'm waiting for those emails to come in. And the reason that the superintendent and others, school committee chair, others are fighting so hard to keep this information from me is obvious, because I suspect that the information contained in these emails and communications is very damaging to some people that are very high up in this district, as well as the three teachers that I'm talking about. So they're basically doing everything they can to intimidate me, stall, do anything they can to make me go away. But I think I've shown in the last 9 or 10 months or whatever that I'm not going anywhere. I don't care what people call me. I don't care what they say to me. I don't care what they think of me. I care about is fighting for these kids and our good teachers, and that's why I'm doing it.
Here's a question for you. So what's to stop, you know, these teachers, which we're seeing it already, you know, they're claiming that CRT is not being taught. You know, obviously they're doing it under, you know, a different name. Like, how can we be 100% sure, other than, and I don't know if you would support this or not, other than putting cameras basically in the classroom, like, how are we to be sure that our kids aren't being, you know, subjected to this?
I think that's a great question, Felix. And I would have no problem having cameras in the classroom, as I don't think good teachers would have a problem with it either. You know, mm-hmm. we entrust our kids to our schools for, you know, 6-7 hours a day for 180 days a year. We have every right to know what's going on and what our kids are being taught. I would also say that, you know, we have to be involved as parents. We have to ask questions. We cannot be afraid to ask questions of our kids' teachers, of their principals, and of the people who run this district, as well as the school committee. So the camera thing, I think, is a great idea. And I think the preponderance of good teachers would support that. I think it'd be a great idea.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I've heard a few pushbacks against it. Some people say, you know, they don't want their kids on camera. So I suggested, well, how about, you know, just the cameras fixed on the teacher? You know what I mean? Things like, I mean, there's certain, you know, different things that can be worked out, but there's got to be a way to where parents have access to what's going on in that classroom.
Well, we have to know the books that they're using, number one. And if you look at Providence, and I want you guys to look up Ramona Bessinger after we get done with this show. She's a Providence middle school teacher who's speaking out. She indicates that a lot of the books that they were using have just been tossed out and replaced with new books that are very sometimes sexually inappropriate, historically inaccurate. This is the type of stuff that is going on in Providence right now. And I don't know what the new textbooks are going to be here when this ELA and math curriculums are implemented with the other core subjects to follow. I don't know what those books are. I do have a list of all the books now that are being used. And I was told that the ones that on the list that they sent me through my APRA request are now in storage. And they can be viewed by appointment when school opens next year. So they're already in storage. So this is just another stall tactic here to try, in my opinion, to try and keep me from getting the information that I'm seeking. So that's the name of that tune.
So what do you feel needs to happen now?
I tell you, we've got to really continue to gather this information from my APRA requests. We need to continue to ask questions of those who are leading this district, including our teachers, our kids' teachers, our principals, people like that. But the biggest thing that we can do is what we're doing right now, honestly, because we work hard to educate people on what critical race theory is, but we need to do a better job of that, I think. So, you know, as many people that will talk to me, and I've been on, done TV, radio, podcasts, you know, newspaper stories in the Globe, and by Legal Insurrection and other people, some of them, a lot of them don't agree with what I'm doing, but I want to talk to them anyway, because it's an opportunity to educate people on what critical race theory is and how dangerous it is in our schools. So to answer your question, Mike, what needs to happen now is two things. We need to continue to educate the public on the evils of CRT, and we need to get as many parents and taxpayers to come get off the couch and stop what you're doing. What could be more important than fighting for the well-being of your own kids? Nothing. There isn't anything that's more important than that if you're a parent. So I need people, we need people to get in the fight with us and try to combat the evil that is critical race theory. Those are the two things that we need to do. Educate, and we need to band together.
Amen on that.
I mean, it sounds like the right idea. You know, I'm glad you had the chance to come on. You know, if you had to talk to Westerly parents and parents throughout the state, because this is a Charahoe problem, it's a SK problem. We've seen the school board threaten to sue the lady down in SK. We've seen a kid arrested for not wearing a mask. You know, he was opposed to CRT. You know, so we're seeing this everywhere. What do you say to parents? And if people want to get in touch with you, if they want to talk about this, how do they find you?
Well, what I would say to parents is what I just said. I would ask them a question. What could possibly be more important than fighting for the welfare, for the lives and the hearts and the minds of your own kids? Critical race theory and this whole movement, this whole hard left movement is about control, okay? They're stealing or trying to steal the hearts and souls and minds of your kids in order to achieve a political gain. That is what this is. This is not a political issue for me. This is a kid issue for me. This is a United States of America and a town of Westerly in the state of Rhode Island issue for me. So I would tell the parents to please join us and educate yourself on critical race theory. Read as much as you can. Watch as much news as you can, as you possibly can. Just learn as much about critical race theory as you possibly can. And as far as getting in touch with me, I'm very easy to find. You know, you guys found me. Well, maybe you had a little help, from our friend. But you know, you can find me on Facebook. Plenty of people that disagree with me find me on Facebook and send me nice nasty messages. So people can just find me on Facebook, and I'll be happy to do whatever I can to help educate them. Listen to what's going on with their own kids. But they have to step up and fight for their own kids. It can't be a handful of people just doing it. It's got to be a group effort. And we have to demand of our schools that, A, they tell us what is going on. We have to be allowed to know what is going on in our schools. And B, we cannot allow our kids to be, their minds and hearts to be stolen and indoctrinated and poisoned with critical race theory. We cannot allow it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally agree. And again, as I said earlier, before, we have to be careful with people who think this is just CRT is just the way of teaching more history. It's clearly not. There's an agenda behind it. You know, all due respect to Emerson, but he was way off, and I would encourage him to dig a little deeper. And, you know, hopefully come up with some more answers.
Well, you know, the other thing is you don't see proponents of critical race theory knocking on Candace Owens or Larry Elder's door or any successful people of color, because those people blow critical race theory narrative to bits.
Well, yeah. You know, it's you know, example I always like to use is like LeBron James, for example. You know what I mean? These people, they're so hypocritical. It's insane. You know, they sit there and bash the very system that got them to where they are. You know what I mean? And they turn around and say, well, the rest of you can't do it. You know what I mean? You know, right. the rest of you can't figure it out.
So we
have to do away with the system. You know what I mean? It's insane.
Yeah, like Ibram Kendi will milk the whole system for what it's worth and then bash capitalism as he, a self-avowed Marxist, takes advantage of all that capitalism has to offer and then smashes it.
Exactly. Bernie Sanders with all his mansions and whatnot, you know, yes. Turn around and say, go socialism while reaping the benefits of capitalism.
Yep.
Before we let you go, one of our listeners just sent me this video. I want to play it real quick for the both.
To dislike each other, that's pretty much, I don't care what you say, it's pretty much what it's going to all come down to. You're going to deliberately teach kids, this white kid right here got it better than you because he white? You're going to purposely tell a white kid, oh, the black people are all down and suppressed. How do I have two men?
Maybe it's not going to play.
I've seen that video, though. Very good video.
I've seen it, too. Yeah.
I'll definitely share it on the Facebook page. There's a lot
Definitely worth sharing.
Yeah, definitely. Yes. So I'm, like I said when I started this, I don't know enough about CLT, and it's good to ask questions because...
Of course.
It's good to ask questions. That's why I thought it'd be a good idea to have Bob here. I appreciate his fight. I know he's got people behind him, backing him up. Thank you to Uncle Felix, the political goat. You know, it's always nice to have you around. You know, Felix.
Anytime, Mike.
I enjoyed talking with you guys tonight. I really, really did. And
no, same here. I've taken a little break from my podcast since Facebook and basically all the other social media outlets keep shadow banning me. but once I get back on, I would love to have you on the show.
Oh, I'd be happy to come on, Felix. And Mike, you guys are two great guys. I enjoy talking with you, and I'd love to come on again anytime.
Yeah, definitely, Bob. Anytime, you know, you got something you want to talk about, you know, you're more than welcome to come on. You know, and if anybody wants to reach out to Bob, you know, I'm sure he seems like he's open for debate. So, you know, thank you. I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Felix.
All right. Bye.
All the best, guys.
See you. How's it going?
Hi, Felix. Appreciate it. I wish it didn't go left.
No, but you know what? It's a very polarizing topic. You know what I mean? So I understand people get upset, people get emotional. We just have to, you know, try to overcome that and have a conversation. No hard feelings towards Emerson. I know he sounds like he's very passionate on the subject. So, you know, I get why people, you know, it's, you know, whenever race is part of the conversation, people are going to get, you know, excited about it.
I was like more into like in public schools. I think he came in on the part of the conversation, maybe when you and Bob were talking about, you know, slaves or whatever part he came in on, and maybe he caught that 5 minutes, like he said. But my interest in this topic tonight was in schools. Should it be taught? Should is this what's going on? And I just think, like myself, maybe once he watches this whole video, I hope he does watch the whole video.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because me myself was. Hold on a second. Thank you, Phyllis, for bringing a calm to the storm. Great to hear your opinion. You know, and I thought that's why it'd be great to having a couple people on. You know, Felix is always great. I look forward to seeing this kid this year up at UMass Dartmouth, huh?
Go Crusaders! I can't wait. First game is up against Houston up in Maine. Can't wait. September 4th.
And you still have to root on Hendrick and Hawks?
Yes, their first game on the same day, unfortunately. They're playing in New York. They'll be playing against Iona Prep.
Oh, they still do that, huh? I thought they stopped it.
They stopped it last year because of COVID. And in the year before, actually. So the past 2 years, it hasn't happened. Last time they played was my oldest son's sophomore year. What a game that was. Came down to the wire. We were actually winning that game with seconds left, and they beat us with a, you know, last-minute Hail Mary, basically. What a game that was, though.
I'll tell you what, a lot of these freshmen going into college, they got to dig in, and because it's a totally different game. You know, I tell a lot of kids, work harder than what they ask you to do, because
my son got the schedule from his coach, and you know, it looks more like a work schedule than anything.
No, yeah, definitely. So congratulations to all the kids that stepped up to the next level, and you know, we need more guys like Bob to step up and, you know, talk about this. We're getting into a messed up society right now, and
yeah,
you know, I didn't know a lot about CRT because, you know, it's something I try to stay away from, but anytime it's about the kids, you know, you find out the truth and you go after it. So.
Yeah, if you know, if anything can unite this nation right now, it's the kids. You know, I mean, everybody loves their children.
Yeah, you know, like Tom McDonald said, he said, what did he say? He said, instead of leaving a better planet for our kids, let's leave better kids for our planet.
Yep.
I'll end with that. Have a good night.
You too. See ya.
Well, that's about it, everybody. That got interesting, but I really didn't want it to go to left field. I was just talking about, you know, inside the school, should teachers be teaching the CRT and the stuff that the CRT that I've been hearing about that, no, they shouldn't. But yes, we should go into American history a lot more. We should go into African American history a lot more. Totally, totally agree. Y'all know what side of the fence I'm on. So love you all. Peace.